You're listening to Unceded Airwaves by the Indigenous Collective at CITR 101.9 FM. Unceded Airwaves is broadcasting from the traditional, ancestral, unceded, and current lands of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. Indigenous girl, lifestyle, lifestyle, lifestyle. 1, 2, 1, 2. Today's show intro was Indigenous Girl Lifestyle, Idle No More Speech by JB the First Lady.
Unceded Airwaves broadcasts every week from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded lands of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. Autumn Chanel Vilji, I'm Treaty 11 Gwich'in and Inuvialuit on my mother's side. I was born and raised in Amaskwatiwaskayagan, or Treaty 6 territory, of the Cree, Métis, Nakota Sioux, and Soto peoples. And I acknowledge that I'm an uninvited guest on the unceded Coast Salish lands, and I'm so grateful to be here. I've been here for about 6 months now, and I'm grateful every single day. Do you want to introduce yourself, Jess?
Yes, I do. Hi, my name is Jessica Johns. I'm Cree from Treaty 6 territory as well. I lived on Treaty 6 territory. I'm originally from Treaty 8 territory, and I'm a member of Sucker Creek First Nation.
Beautiful. Do you want to introduce yourself, Madison?
Tanse. Madison Singh, Sigasoyan, Miksu Cree First Nation, Ochinia. Hello, my name is Madison Singh, and I'm from the Miksu Cree First Nation, which is in Treaty 8 territory in northern Alberta.
Beautiful. Do you want to go, Melissa?
Sure. So I'm Melissa Haberl. I am a white settler, grew up in Epiquette, also known as Prince Edward Island. That is a traditional and unceded territory of the Mi'kmaq peoples. I'm of mixed German and Austrian descent, and I've been living as an uninvited guest here on Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh lands.
Do you want to go, Carly?
Sure. Tanche. Carly Dishnikanshan. Hello, my name is Carly, and I'm extra breathy today. I can tell by my voice I'm still a little bit sick. I'm Cree Métis on my dad's side and Icelandic settler on my mom's side, and my Cree family comes from Treaty 1 territory, the Red River Settlement in Manitoba, but I was born and raised on Stalo territory.
You're listening to Season 3, Episode 13 of Unceded Airwaves. We want to thank our sponsors, Decolonizing Water and NORAD Electric. So last week we told you that we would be talking about the Downtown Eastside Women's Memorial March, but something more pressing happened this weekend, and we at the Indigenous Collective feel like this needs to be addressed. So today we will be talking about Colton Bushy and the injustices of the Gerald Stanley trial and acquittal. Many of us from Unceded Airwaves went to the Justice for Colton March downtown this past Saturday. I recorded some things on my phone, and we've compiled a list of our favorite speeches from the event, which we will be sharing later, along with a panel discussion with the members of the collective. There will be some harsh language in this episode, both in songs and speeches, and maybe in conversation. So if you're a settler and you don't have sensitive ears, we really encourage you to keep listening. But before we get into it, let's set our intention for the day. So we are the Indigenous Radio Collective. Every week we discuss Indigenous issues, current events, and entertainment. We are a collective of Indigenous and non-Indigenous students who use our weekly airtime for our own self-representation.
We strive to center Indigenous voices on our show and to build narratives that empower Indigenous people. Unceded Airwaves is our opportunity to share and define the diversity of our cultures and highlight some influential Indigenous people.
If you can relate to the goals of the show and are wondering how to get involved, please reach out. You can always reach us on our social media. We've got Facebook and Twitter. If you have a voice for decolonization, then we want to hear from you.
Everyone is welcome, and there is no experience necessary. Our weekly meeting is every Wednesday at 1 p.m. at the CITR station in the lower level of the Nest. If you want to get involved but don't want to be on air, there are plenty of other ways to participate in this collective.
You can follow Unceded Airwaves on Facebook and Twitter. If you're aware of a great Indigenous artist, send us a tweet using the hashtag Unceded Music, or send us a Facebook message at Unceded Airwaves, and we'll do our best to get it on the air. And if we play a song and you send us, we will even give you a shout out.
We're always looking to hear from our listeners about what you're up to, so let us know about any Indigenous artists that you're into right now or any events you're attending or promoting. As always, we'll post a link to the podcast of this episode after the show. We'll have our weekly Unceded events listing to share a little later in the show.
LGBTQ2I Night is a positive space for folks to learn about bike maintenance in a relaxed environment led by queer mechanics and volunteers. It takes place on the fourth Wednesday of every month at the Bike Kitchen on UBC's campus. Bring your own bike and fix them with our tools, come with questions and ask away, or learn by watching other folks work on their bikes. Beginners are always welcome. This event is entirely free to attend and there will be free pizza. For more information, visit bikecoop.ca.
We don't need to tell you that Vancouver has a housing problem.
Mass evictions.
Mass rent evictions.
Unfair rent increases.
What happened to rent control and protection from unfair eviction?
If these or other housing matters concern you, you may be interested in joining the Vancouver Tenants Union. For more information, visit tenantsunion.ca.
You're listening to Unceded Airwaves. You tuned in just in time. Here are some of the speeches that I recorded at the Colton Bushi rally. There will be strong language within them, but we feel the need not to censor them because what is being talked about is important and what they are saying is really valid despite the strong language. So if you have sensitive ears, maybe stop listening. But if you...
Also, don't.
Also, like, please don't, because this is really important to talk about.
At this time, I would like to ask my sister who provided the sound, who drove here, brought the sound, who's a very... close sister to me. Sorry. It's really deep. It's really, really deep right now. Okay. My sister, Teresa Point Borbis.
Aswell. Can I get y'all to say Aswell?
Aswell.
Good day. Because it is a good day. Each and every time that we open... We have the privilege to open our eyes to a new day. It's a good day. Today, I want you all to open your hearts and open your minds. I know the fact that you're here and that you're standing with us means that you've already done that. If you haven't had a chance to smudge, pray. Because all of our thoughts and prayers coming together, that's powerful. And like I said in the beginning, it's not just us. This is happening all across Turtle Island right now. This is just one of many, many gatherings that are happening. And we're not just supported. It is not just the Indigenous people. It is all of the directions that are pissed off. And we should be. We have every right to be pissed off. And like my brother said, this isn't just about us anymore. This isn't about me. This is about my kids. I'm a mother, and I want to be a grandmother. And I don't want to have to tell my kids, be careful when you go out in the streets because of the color of your skin. Don't ever stand up to a cop because of the color of your skin. Don't ever reach to your pockets when in an altercation because of the color of your skin. It shouldn't have to be that way. It shouldn't have to be the way that it is today. Yes, we have done a lot of good work. Yes, we have come together. But our rage has to start to serve a purpose. What is your purpose? What are you going to do? Other speakers have said it. What are you going to do? Yes, you can tweet. Yes, you can post this on Instagram. Go live on your Facebook feed. Talk to your relatives. But we need to continue to ask for action and for justice. I'd like to share a song. I was given permission to sing this song by Teresa Bear Fox. This is a dedication to Colton and his family. This is a dedication to all of the Aboriginal people whose blood has been shed to make this country. All of our people, all of our ancestors, our elders that were detained, our children that were taken away, all of the blood that we spilled so that Canada could be a country. This is just an isolated case. This is one incident of injustice that people have woken up to. But I ask you to research, do your research and understand that this is just one case of many, many, many Aboriginal people who have died at the hands of this country. So I'm going to sing this song. And this is in prayer, and this is dedicated to Colton and his family and all the people that are in the spirit world because they're standing here with us. We're not alone. These streets are filled with all of our ancestors that come to stand with us from the other side. Woo! It's seven generations behind us, and it's seven generations into the future. Woo! So please pray with me and send all of your light and your love and your energy to Colton and his family. Skanikula de watu de neiti e nana de nona daitu de neiti no waladu yewe kuna skana skana paka.
When I say justice, you say for Colton. Justice
for Colton!
for Colton.
When I say justice for, you say Tina Fontaine. Justice for
Tina Fontaine.
Justice for
Tina Fontaine.
Yesterday, a farmer killed Colton Boucher and was convicted, was acquitted, not guilty. And that's shame.
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 So we're gathered here, not only here in Vancouver, but across Canada, and saying and standing up to this racist system. And we say, as Indigenous people, enough is enough. Our settler allies are saying enough is enough.
Enough, enough.
Our people of color are saying enough is enough.
Enough, enough.
Our LGBTQ community is saying enough is enough.
Enough is enough.
So we're here in resistance. We're here in rage and a peaceful mind, heart, and spirit. But we're here to express ourselves in this way. So at this time, I would like to call upon a good friend who works in our community with our young people here in Vancouver and across all the way to Surrey and Maple Ridge. I would like to call upon my sister, Jessica Slater. Make some noise if Black Lives Matter is here. When I say Black Lives, you say Matter. Black Lives
Matter!
Black Lives
Matter!
Black Lives
Matter!
So I'd like to call upon one of our amazing leaders. She works with the Battered Women Support Services. She works for our women, all women, no matter what color of their skin, against domestic violence and violence that the people do to our women. Not just of Indigenous women, but women of all colors. And she does that work. She's on the front line and provides space. So please give it up for Angela McDougall.
language with the Musqueam people. My name is Angela Marie McDougall, and like many of you here, my ancestors do not come from this land that we now call Canada. My ancestors come from Ghana and from Sweden, and I was born here in these territories. And one of the things that I learned as a girl growing up here in this city that we now call Vancouver, I was, like many of us who are not Indigenous, indoctrinated into an incredibly painful and dishonest story of the original people of these lands. I was attempted to be indoctrinated into some stereotypes of Indigenous people through grade school, through high school, through every aspect of my life as a Black woman walking in these lands. And it became very clear to me that these were lies, that what Canada was telling me about Indigenous people was a lie. And I began to get very curious about why it was so necessary for Canada to tell me these lies. Why was Canada telling me these lies? Why were the teachers indoctrinating me into these lies? What was the reason? And through that investigation, it became very clear that this was about the land, that this was about the land and the taking of the land, and about the access to natural resources for the land, and the very making of Canada as a nation and the economic systems. Now, Canada's not unique in this. We can travel all across the globe, where over 85% of the globe has been colonized by a European power for the sole purpose of resource extraction, for the sole purpose of the commodification of Indigenous people, for the sole purpose of enhancing the economic development of Europe and the United States and Canada. Here we are, 21st century, 2018, and we get to see exactly how this colonial project grinds down in the lives. We get to see how the legal system apparatus, how the police apparatus, how the very structures of Canadian system apparatus are stacked against Indigenous people. Walk along these lands as a Black woman. I understand very clearly what that means for me as a Black woman and the ways in which colonization stole my people from Africa to enhance the economics, the economies of Europe. I know that. Here I am in these lands, and I see very clearly how it plays out in the lives of Indigenous people. I've been to Saskatchewan. I've had the privilege of travel, and I've been to Saskatchewan. And let me tell you, you can cut the anti-Indigenous racism with a knife in Saskatchewan. It is thick in the air, and I feel that as a Black person. I saw and experienced it grinding down in the lives of Indigenous people in Saskatchewan. It is thick as the fog that rolls in here. It is thick as the lies that I was told as a Canadian growing up right here in this city that we call Vancouver. So we get to see how the colonial project grinds down in the lives of a beautiful young man, Colton Bushi. We get to see that. We get to witness that. We're witnessing that. We are bearing witness to that. Canada, your white supremacy is showing. Woo! Woo! Canada, you are not a moral authority.
I'm going to ask some speakers to come up. A sister from Anishinaabe people has a strong voice. Her name is Sarah Kadu. Please welcome her to the stage.
Sisters who have darker skin, that's my privilege. When I'm on, yeah, shame. pushing. In our murdered and missing, we have our men, and this is one of them. We acknowledge his family today. We acknowledge the mother, the father, the brothers, the sisters, and all the kids on all the reserves, the fucking prison systems through the fucking INAC, which is why I don't want to have my status. I have the quantum, but I hate the Indian Act. Respectful or not so respectful arguments with your people, your white people. Gather your white people. Yeah. I lost one of my best friends. I walked away from one of my oldest friendships this year because I was sick of talking to her about white privilege. Sometimes you have to draw the line. I'm sorry, I can't talk to you about this anymore. We have beautiful women and men here. I see Muslims. I see two spirits. I see people in wheelchairs. We have to stand up for each other. What are we going to do? We're going to deconstruct this colonial garbage. We're going to stop lateral violence. We're going to stand for Indigenous people when it comes right now, this Kinder Morgan thing, right now to these lands. Right now. Future science fiction fable. This is happening right now. So your privilege will not protect you from the oil spills. Do you need water and air too? We have better natures than the colonial system, and they want us to forget that. Do not forget who you are. Do not forget you have a voice. Do not forget it's for these little ones here that we're doing this. I want to say miigwech. I want to say thank you to all those that have kicked the snot out of me and made me acknowledge that I actually, for all my blood quantums and my Jewishness, I still get to walk around with my white privilege. So I wanted to talk to you guys about that and say thank you for being here. And please be the fire. Be the fire that spreads through your community. Be a lightning strike that hits the ground when you say no to injustice. Ground yourself. Be present for each other. The most powerful thing we can do right now is to be love. Fierce. Decolonized. Love.
I don't normally come forward and speak, but I really think the people need to hear this.
This trial
was run by the Justice Martel D. Popescu. Martel D. Popescu. I want you to remember that name. This man needs to be investigated. He needs to be brought to justice. Since 1992, he has a history. He has a history of exonerating Indian killers.
Shame!
Shame!
Now, I don't know if you know that, but I found some things today. Some articles that go way back that demonstrate that this system is so corrupt from top to bottom. And we've talked about why here, for resource extraction.
Right.
Why are we being killed at an abnormal rate? Why are we being incarcerated, overrepresented in the system? I want to know what Martin D. Popescu has been up to since 1992. I want to know how he's elevated himself on the bodies of our people.
Shame!
Shame! Shame!
I hope you'll find a way to join me. I'm going to be carrying this further, finding out how we can have this man investigated. And have this verdict struck down. And everything that he's done here. And I want to know how many families have been affected since 1992. How many people are in jail? How many people are dead because of this person? And the people who have have elevated him. I hope you'll keep that in your mind. You go away from here today. This isn't over. This is not over. No peace, no justice.
No peace, no justice.
Tambor Concerts and CITR present pop singer-songwriter from Australia, Betty Hu, on tour to support her latest release, The Valley. Come out Wednesday, February 28th, to see Betty Hu with special guests at the Imperial in Vancouver. Get tickets and more information at timbreconcerts.com.
You're a member of CITR and Discorder, but are you a true friend?
Get a Friends of CITR and Discorder card for $20 with discounts on Commercial Drive at
Audio Pile, High Life Records, Mintage, People's Co-op Bookstore, Stormcrow Tavern, The Rio Theater, JQ Clothing Limited, and Bone Rattle Music Limited.
You're listening to Unseated Airwaves. Here we will be talking about the Colton Bushi case, the march, and our feelings and opinions about this. If you're unfamiliar with the happenings around this, I really recommend reading lots of the Indigenous Twitter icons. It's really popular on Twitter right now. And also I feel like you can probably Google it. Google's great. Cook'em Google, as an elder, many elders have told me. I feel like it is not our job to inform you of what's happening, but we're definitely going to be having a roundtable discussion about this. And if you're a settler and you're looking for some ways to participate in this, because you should be, and like you're living on our land, you should be interested in what's happening. Melissa can share with you some tips a little bit later, but how are we all feeling?
Are we ready?
Sad, mostly.
Yeah.
Very valid.
Deep, deep sadness.
Yeah.
Not even, I mean, definitely, absolutely, from the result of the trial. The acquittal was a devastating impact on the community. But after that, there has just been more and more and more that's happened. The GoFundMe that is raising, I think it's at $50,000 right now for Gerald Stanley.
It's actually, I think it's upward of $100,000 now, or nearing $100,000. And that's a big, I agree with you, Jess, that's such a big thing as well, because not only does this look like, I mean, we're talking about a lot of different things in this conversation. We're talking about the legalities, which we chose to stay away from today because, none of us are lawyers, honestly. I think it's important to know and admit what you don't know. And that would be something I would really love to see from a lot more folk, just rather than a bunch of people posing as lawyers on Twitter, which I certainly see a lot of that right now. But the GoFundMe account, not only now has a bunch of money been raised for a person who was tried for manslaughter.
Second, I think it was murder.
Second degree murder at first, and then and at least manslaughter. I think a lot of us were wondering if that's what the end result would be. But there are people, I don't know if those of you who aren't familiar with the GoFundMe account, there are people that are donating and under false names. They're using the names of prominent Indigenous activists and then contacting these activists to gloat, basically. So this goes beyond a trial. And I feel like for those who are commenting that to this, it's inexplicable to me that commenting that this isn't about race. Well, that seems pretty racial right there.
Yeah. That And it's just, it's hard to digest that that many people could raise that much money, but then GoFundMe took down the page. They took down the page for
WikiLeaks or something?
Yeah, and they just, they refused to take it. Why?
Yeah.
And then there are so many things that just keep adding on to this, like Justin Trudeau disrespecting the Indigenous women in Nanaimo several weeks ago, and then this happening, and then the GoFundMe, and like feels like things just keep piling on, and it's almost, it's really hard to digest, and I just, and I feel like it's just us with the rage right now. Like, it's not hitting mainstream society, and I don't understand. How can it? I don't get it.
Yeah, that's the thing, I think, is that it's not just this one thing that happened that's devastating to the community. It is blows over and over and over. And, you know, it's all over Native Twitter. That's blowing up. And it feels like everyone's engaged. And then you switch over to another media outlet. You go onto Facebook and I see, like, two posts maybe. And one of them is one defending Gerald Stanley. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, where are these people? How do you not know what's going on? If you do know, how are you not enraged about it to be saying something?
And what makes me angry is that there's people out there who still don't believe that this is happening. And, like, where? It just makes me so mad.
They have their little blinders on and they're like, no, racial things aren't happening to you. And you're like, they happen every day. It's not.
I want to offer some thumbs up, I guess, and some empathy, too, to those that I do see engaging, because I know it's hard. I mean, the reality is it's what we're dealing with every day as Indigenous peoples. But I see people that are trying to start conversations and are immediately being met with backlash from their friends, from their own family members. Mm-hmm. And these are really difficult conversations to have. And to those of you who are beginning to engage with those conversations, I see you. You know, we see you, and I'm grateful for people that are waiting in there. I don't know what non-Indigenous folks think that it's like to be. What it's like for some of us. I mean, I can't speak for all Indigenous peoples. We're not a homogenous whole, but I don't understand everything that's going on. I don't understand all the facts. I'm not sure. There are conversations that I don't know if I should enter in to, because I think maybe something that happens to me a lot is that I just become overwhelmed with what seems like this gigantic moral, I wish I had a better term for it, but it's just a lacking of morality, and my emotions get the better of me often, and which makes it difficult to speak out, or I'm concerned about my tone. It's keeping my tone level, because it's something that I find often is that when you engage in conversations with settlers about these events, any degree of passion can be perceived as anger, and people just stop listening.
I agree with that, but also I'm a very angry person and I'm very hot-headed, and I think that, like, if they want to completely ignore my anger, then, like, that's fine. You can ignore it, but I'm still going to be angry. And the more that I keep yelling, the more that you're going to have to listen. And also, update, it is Monday. This is a pre-recorded episode, and it is Monday, February 12th at 3:08 p.m., and the Gerald Stanley Fund has raised over $105,000, and their initial goal was $200,000. It was up to $50,000. It doubled that now, and now their new goal is $150,000. I don't know what they're going to put the money towards, what they're planning to put the money towards. So I don't know what it's going for. I don't know what people are thinking they're giving their money to, but it has been, their goal has been doubled more than twice now, so I guess quadrupled. Yeah.
That's just a bounty. Bounties don't have, the goal for a bounty is just it's just a dead person. And that's what he gave. Mm-hmm. So,
and of course, it was an Indigenous person, because those are the only people who ever die and their killers aren't charged with anything. So,
yeah, I think before the show, Jess and I were talking about that. Like, I'm really looking forward to. I'm feeling the same way right now. I'm overwhelmed. I'm sad. I had to just dissipate my anger. because I didn't have the energy for it. But some of us I know have said that we're looking forward to accessing that rage again, because that gives you the energy you need to take action sometimes. And I'm looking forward to assembling a lot of the great, I'm sure, again, a lot of it is on Twitter, but a lot of people have spoken out and written some, shared some really useful information. I'll try to find this and post this on Unceded Airwaves shortly, but there was a farmer, a settler farmer from, I believe he was from Saskatchewan, who spoke out and just gave some context to the situation, you know, that this is something that happens. Young people get drunk and drive around on the farms. This is non-Indigenous and Indigenous mm-hmm. people. When I was in high school, we used to break into the ginseng farms near Lillooet, where I lived, and go jump on the tarps. And we had, I mean, more than once, there was a farmer who fired a warning shot into the air, and we got our butts out of there. But and this is wrong, you know? Like, I don't know if I'm incriminating myself even by saying that. That was Jess that said that, by the way. it happens, but we're not in some kind of frontier town situation, you know, like this is not the United States, thank God. And it's not, you don't kill someone, you don't shoot someone because you found them on your land. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter how frightened you are.
On your land, too, right?
Like, well, there's a whole lot, another irony there, for sure.
Yeah. And I think that's, you see this, like, really deep sense of, like, vigilantism and, like, racism and this totally messed up, misguided sense of ownership and property. And what's disgusted me most as a settler is to watch the reactions of people that have been following this case and that have validated Stanley's actions because there was a kid on his property and maybe tried to, I don't know, whatever, with an ATV. Like, who cares what he was doing with an ATV? Like, it's, or whatever these reasons are that people are trying to paint these kids as being deserving of violence. And that's what's been so disgusting for me to watch. And I've been listening and I hear the rage and the love of all of my Indigenous friends, and I've been watching Indigenous Twitter very closely, and I've been joining in that rage. And I guess what's been said about settlers and your complicity in this and our complicity in this is what we need to focus on. And I'm talking to white settlers here. Like, I don't understand why you're not getting angry.
You should be angry. This is something for you to be angry about.
Yeah. And so I kind of talked with the folks here at the collective about sharing a bit of a personal message that I shared with some folks in my circles. So if it's okay with you guys, I might read that.
Yeah.
This is to white folks. So this message is for all of you, my white settler friends. I am angry, heartbroken, and disappointed. What I have been looking to you all for since the news broke of the Stanley acquittal is for your own rage, your own engagement, your own willingness, and a drive to listen to and to support the Indigenous people who have been yet again deeply wounded by rampant racism and white settler supremacy, and who feel and carry a pain and a rage that none of us will ever quite know. I understand that we are not all Indigenous studies degrees, members of Indigenous collectives, or have Indigenous friends even. And so I get that there may be a certain sense of removal from these experiences that you may, that may be at play for you. But you also are critically minded, intelligent, and empathetic people that read the news and can access channels where you can learn more and connect with what is happening. I do not understand why you are not angry, why we are not all talking about Colton Bushy. Why you are not making the effort to show up at a rally, write letters, donate, engage, resist, when we as settlers are so clearly being asked to do so by Indigenous communities. I am angry at a system of settler colonialism and whiteness that operates in such a way that us settlers can turn ourselves off of the experiences of Native people in this country, at a system that enables us to disassociate from injustices we are all complicit in. We remain complacent in our bubbles of privilege and comfort while brown bodies are shot and all white juries acquit guilty men. We are all implicated. I am so angry, I feel like I can't fit all the pieces of my rage inside my body. I am angry and I will not apologize for it. Perhaps you'll think it is unfair of me to put that on you, or that I'm missing the mark, or that you are in fact angry and we just haven't talked about it. But from where I'm standing, this is what I see and this is what I feel. I am angry at colonialism and at all settler people who have said nothing, done nothing, felt nothing. It is not targeted at any one of you specifically, but a larger rage and a structural problem I see you all playing a role in and choosing not to act on.
If you're not backing Indigenous people on this issue, then there is a problem, and there is partaking in settler colonialism. That's all I have to say about that.
And there's ways, there's practical ways that we can do that. I think a lot of people are just like, well, what do I do and how do I help? And, you know, there's showing up. There's just the act of when there's rallies happening and things being organized predominantly by Indigenous women, as you saw at the march this Saturday. You show up and you listen to the voices and you carry the messages that they're telling you, and then you respond. There's practical ways, like writing letters. You know, I've seen a lot on Indigenous Twitter asking folks to write letters, and you know, you can address those to the Prime Minister, the Federal Minister of Justice, Federal Minister of Crown Indigenous Relations, your own MPs, the Minister of Justice in Saskatchewan. Write letters, especially as settler people. Those actually have a lot of weight if those arrive in large numbers, flood inboxes. Donate to the GoFundMe, not the Gerald Stanley GoFundMe.
The wrong.
Just to be clear. The one for Colton Bushy's family. Report the other one. There's so many things. If you follow the conversation, there are very clear things that you can do. And most importantly, it's been mentioned a lot, Carly in particular noted it, you need to take up these conversations when it's uncomfortable and when it's scary for you. Confront your racist uncle at the dinner table, mm-hmm. at your workplace. That's the structural racism that has led to creating the conditions not only for the acquittal, but for the murder of Colton Bushy. And that's what we're all a part of. And if you don't resist it, you're not doing enough.
Yeah.
Another thing, too, you can do, my mind has really changed about this over the years. For a long time, I wondered how good it did to share the things that you saw on Facebook. There's a lot of, they had even a catchy name for it a while back. It was a certain kind of activism. Slacktivism, they called it. Because all you had to do was basically share. And I think Indigenous Twitter has really changed my mind about that, honestly. Because it's just the act of elevating other people's voices. So if you, as a settler, don't know if you have anything to add to the conversation, you're not sure what you have to add to the conversation, there's a lot of material going around that you can share. Facebook as well. I think we're all kind of focused on Twitter these days because Indigenous Twitter is just rocking the airwaves there. There are people like Alicia Elliott, Daniel Heath Justice. I say Chelsea Vowell, but I even say that with a little bit of trepidation because people like Chelsea have communicated as well that it's not her job. Share anything that's been offered up can be shared, mm-hmm. but I recommend watching yourself in conversations. And actually, I don't know if any of you guys have seen this. There are a couple of another great example of allyship. Folks recently, I know there are a few people involved with it, but I want to give a shout out to Elaine Corden because she's just such a caring person and a wonderful ally. That what happens a lot of the time when you share on Twitter or as an Indigenous person say anything on Twitter is that your mentions are immediately flooded by trolls, and these folks seem to have an unlimited amount of time to push arguments. Basically, I don't know what else they do in their lives, honestly. And so that it can be very common for you to, as an Indigenous person, put together a well-thought-out thread and then just have your mentions just explode for hours afterwards with a bunch of hate speech. So Elaine and others were involved, or I think they're still involved, with something. It was the hashtag settler collector or hashtag troll collector. And that's you, as a settler, can basically pull the conversation away, remove the mentions to whoever is involved, someone like Chelsea Vowell, remove their names, and then just derail the conversation, mm-hmm. take the conversation over, because it doesn't seem to end. These guys don't ever seem to, and women and men don't ever seem to want to walk away from the conversation. But you just, you are willing to take a little bit of time and to remove that conversation from someone like Daniel or Chelsea or Alicia's mentions.
And also, white people listen to white people. So, they're not going to listen to me because I'm not white, and that's going to be the end of the conversation. They're going to see me, and they're going to think that I am obviously less educated, less intelligent, less eloquent, less everything. So if you take up that conversation from your white perspective, you're going to have a lasting impact. And that's the reality. That is how we change a system. And it can't just be done by us because we're not white. And they're going to know that. And that's going to be the end of it.
And I think one of the main reasons we're sort of pausing on or talking a lot about, you know, settler responsibility here is because when something like this happens, the abuse and the violence goes everywhere in our in Indigenous communities, and it is so hard to just keep your head above water. And it's not that we're just trying to keep our own heads above water. We're a community, and what we do is that we're trying to be supported and at the same time trying to support each other, which you will see a lot, even with the, you know, the women creating these events and all this kind of stuff. So much labor is going into us that it's so very hard to find that extra energy to reach out and to try and get allies or to try and solidify some other kind of help. But we know that people are out there. I had so many friends, non-Indigenous friends, reach out to me, and it was amazing, and I'm so grateful. But a lot of people don't know what to do, which is fair, and I think it's important to give some sort of direction, especially when we don't have the labor to give ourselves and able to, you know, do that for them.
And in my opinion, one of the only things, probably the only thing in my experience that was good that came out of this was a sense of community. Mm. Like, immediately after the trial, like, Melissa came up to me and she was like, I'm so mad. And then my friend Emily texted me and my brother texted me, and like all of the Cree people who I knew in Treaty 6, we were all sending each other like love messages. We were like, you're really great. Like, don't let this get you down. Like, it's going to get you down, but I'm here to support you. And like, Jess walked into the studio today and she gave me a hug and she asked me how I was. And like, that wouldn't have happened if this hadn't happened, but it's sad that this has to happen in order to form a sense of community.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we're trying to, I mean, I know this sounds raw to people, and I know you'll be listening to the show on Wednesday, but it's Monday for us, and it is raw for us. But we are, many of us are trying, I won't speak for we, I'm trying, and I feel supported saying this, that we're trying to keep this conversation constructive. So it's not intended as an attack, but for those who are asking, and I see a lot of that, asking or maybe remaining silent, wondering what to do. That's my goal for this conversation today, not to attack. We, as Jess said, I really want to echo what Jess said. We do a lot of work to support each other in a community, and this community can extend and should extend to include allies. Mm-hmm. So for those of you who are just wondering what to do, how to help, that's sort of what we want to focus on today. We have to, it would be a very interesting radio show if we just all allowed ourselves to speak totally directly about how we're feeling right now. We'd probably just be listening to a lot of sniffling and. So this is sort of the best we can do right now, but I feel that it's so important. I mean, I had to take the bus for 90 minutes to get here today, and I'm sick as a dog, but I just thought more than anything, the most important thing is for people to hear real voices. Mm-hmm. We're not going to be as jazzy as ATPN, you know, like we're not going to offer the CBC sort of smooth version of things, but this is an opportunity for you to hear real voices. Mm-hmm. And folks that are suffering, and we're doing our best here.
I also just wanted to say one thing to that. You know, inviting settlers into this conversation and inviting folks in to challenge their own sort of experiences and perspectives and to really kind of unsettle themselves. I know from my own experience that can be like an emotional process. But I want to say, like, you'll make mistakes. Like, I make mistakes all the time, like figuring out how to navigate that situation. I still do. Like, I take up too much space sometimes, and then I feel like incredibly self-critical after, and I try to work
it out. In my opinion, you didn't, but
okay,
that's me.
All right. But I just, the point I'm trying to make, I don't want to focus on me. I'm just saying that it can be uncomfortable, but the discomfort is so productive and valuable. Mm-hmm. And if you're just trying and you own up to your mistakes, like, you know, I was talking with Carly earlier too about, you know, making a mistake and missing a land acknowledgement, like those kinds of things, they become opportunities to learn and to better your own sort of commitment to these issues. And don't let fear and discomfort stop you from having a conversation. Like, we need to have conversations. Like, if we listen to Indigenous folks in this country right now, like, people are demanding and asking very loudly and very clearly to join in the conversation. So if you say the wrong thing, cool, you'll say a better thing next time, and you'll build on it, and we can work together and support Indigenous communities in this. Don't step away from the conversation before you've even tried.
Yeah, and just to add on to that, you know, one of my friends, after this whole thing went down, a Saturday morning, I got a message from one of my settler friends that just said, "I don't know what to say right now. I don't know what to do, but not saying anything felt worse. And I just want you to know I love you, and I just want you to know I'm here." And I can't explain the amount, how important that was for me to receive that message. And I think this goes back to just what we were saying before. It's just about showing up. It's about showing up for your friends, and it's about showing up in any way that you know how, because reaching out in those small ways, first of all, they're not small. They seem that way because it's just a small gesture. But then that opens you up. That opens up an opportunity for me to say, please come to this rally with me. Mm-hmm. Or it brings you into this world where the opportunity for you to help in a deeper way is there.
Okay, now on a different note, you're listening to Unseated Airwaves on CITR 101.9 FM. And if you're looking to be an ally, there is an event happening on the day that you will be listening to it. It's the Downtown Eastside Women's Memorial March. The first Women's Memorial March was held in 1992 in response to the murder of women on Powell Street in Vancouver. Out of this sense of hopelessness and anger came an annual march on Valentine's Day to express compassion, community, and caring for all women in Vancouver's downtown east side on unceded Coast Salish territories. The Women's March continues to honor the lives of missing and murdered women and all women in lives lost in the downtown east side. Increasing deaths of many vulnerable women from the downtown east side still leaves family, friends, loved ones, and community members with an overwhelming sense of grief and loss. Indigenous women disproportionately continue to go missing or murdered, with minimal to no action taken to address these tragedies or the systemic nature of gendered violence, poverty, racism, or colonialism. On February 14th, 2018, that's today, we will gather at 10:30 a.m. at the Carnegie Community Center at 401 Main Street, the corner of Hastings, Vancouver, where family members speak in remembrance. Given space constraints, we ask that the broader public join them at noon, which has already passed. You can still go. When the march takes to the streets and proceeds through the downtown east side with stops to commemorate where women were lost, were last seen or found, speeches by community activists at Main and Hastings, a healing circle at Oppenheimer Park around 2:30 p.m., and finally a community feast in the Japanese Language Hall. Stay tuned next week for a Downtown Eastside Women's Honoring episode next week. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you to all of the people who made speeches at the Colton Bushy event, to JB, the First Lady, for putting on the event, as well as her co-organizers, and to all of the attendees. And thank you to everybody who sat in this room and put in a little bit more emotional labor to talk about this so everybody else can listen to it. We would like to thank our sponsors, NORAD Electric and Decolonizing Water. The next show that you'll hear is Cue It Up. My name is Autumn Schnell, and you're listening to Unseated Airwaves on CITR 101.9 FM.